All right, please stand up with me if you're able to. And I have my old Bible here too. We're going to start reading Isaiah 40, starting from verse 1. It says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Verse 6 says, "The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass." Verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word, how you've sustained, you've upheld your word, even your peculiar people, the Jews, as they sustain this language in what we call today the Bible in the Old Testament. They call the Tanakh. They sustain it. It's exactly like they've preserved it. How you help them along these many centuries. And now collectively in this book that we call the Holy Bible, 66 books, 40 authors spanning centuries, it all points to one origin. It's outside of our space and time that we understand here, God. You exist. This is your word. It's of divine origin. It's our final authority. All of us must live by it, whether or not we know it. So help us, Lord, to read, to understand, to apply, and to preach your word. Help us, God. Empower us. Anoint us. And help us to brag on you today, for we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You guys can have a seat if you would. So today, we're going to brag on God for a bit. Welcome, guys. Now, almost 28 years ago, it was December 22nd, 1997. I'm going to show you this Bible. It's my old beat-up Bible. This is a New American Standard Bible. So back in the 1990s, this was a Bible I used. I used it so much, it was like tearing apart. I like this. So sometimes you have a keepsake. You're like, I'm not going to give this thing away. It's one of those things, there's like blood, sweat, and tears in here. So December 22nd, 1997, what we just read, we read it and we teach out of the official Bible translation, teaching translation for this church is New King James Version. But back then I was reading out of a New American Standard Bible. I have here on the display, I just took a photo of this. Wanted you to see this, because today, again, we're bragging on God and His faithfulness, not mine. God is faithful, amen? He is faithful. And my hope and prayer, guys, is that you would come out of this today, that the one takeaway is that you would have more faith and trust in God and in His Word. Not in me, not in this church, but in God and God alone. That you would trust Him. He is faithful. He will never let you down. Amen? He's never let me nor anybody else down. He cannot do that. God is the one that's faithful. But almost 28 years ago, I remember I was sleeping in my house. It was a city called Tustin in the county of Orange County in California. I'm a California kid. In the 1990s, I went to sleep, and I remember it just like it was yesterday. It's almost like He was harassing me. He woke me up early. Some of you guys know how maybe God might wake you up early, and you're like wide awake. Has that ever happened to any of you guys? Kind of weird, right? It might be 3 a.m. You're like, I'm usually still dead tired, but why am I fully awake? And I remember hearing from a brother, from a friend, if God does that, maybe He wants you to pray for someone or something. Or maybe He just wants you for Himself. It's like, you don't give me time, so I'm going to wake you up. And I want to use that time. Why? Because, no, you don't have to go to work. You don't have to do this or that. So I remember it was like ringing in my head and heart. Isaiah 40, Isaiah 40, Isaiah 40. Get up and read it. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll get up. I didn't want to, but I got up, swung my legs around. I remember kneeling down in my bed, next to my bed, turn on the light. I had this Bible, This was December 22nd, 1997, a.m. Here's what I wrote. The Lord led me to Isaiah chapter 40. I do not yet understand what this word entails for me. He woke me up to read this. I want to encourage you to journal. Even if you have to write in your Bible, you're not going to go to hell. You're not ripping pages out like, I don't agree with that. You write in the margins. And that's what I did that morning. I was still like, oh, I got to go back to sleep. I don't know why I'm up this morning. But I knew it was you. I wrote this down. And I want to share this with you. Again, today I want to brag on God. So this is almost 28 years ago. I believe that the Lord was annoying me, if I could say it that way, using my terminology, to just get up and read Isaiah chapter 40. So I got up and I read it. And I wrote this in my Bible that day. And so what God was doing then, I didn't know until now, until many years later. And what God was showing me, folks, I want you to see all you guys, but look at each other here. Could you? It's okay. Because some of you guys are shy. No, I'm going to make eye contact. That's okay. It's a family of God. What God was showing me is some of the direction that he wanted to give me for you all. He opens up this chapter by saying what? Comfort, oh comfort my people. I didn't know then that God was giving me direction that when he brought me out from the west coast over here to the, some people out here say the right coast, okay, to the east coast, is that he wanted me to be used by him, empowered by the comfort of the Holy Spirit, to help comfort his people. I didn't know what that meant. I had to figure it out. And I'm still trying to figure it out. That there's many people that he brings in, many people I come across, that simply need God's comforting, need God's healing. A lot of it's emotional healing. Isaiah 61, we'll look at it later on. Jesus has prophesied that he would come to heal the brokenhearted. Many times we think of the healing that Jesus does, we think of just a physical healing. There's much more than that. There's a spiritual healing. There's emotional healing of the heart. There's people like my wife, Susan. She grew up, you guys know their story. She went through child sexual abuse, abused by two teachers, actually, in her schools. And I don't know how she did that or how she got through it without going crazy. I would go like cuckoo crazy. But God was able to help her and comfort her. So he says, comfort, oh, comfort my people. And I put a couple of the scriptures here in the entire chapter, some that I want to share with you because this is for you. These are some of the directing and guiding scriptures that God gave me and still convicts my heart for us here. So this is meant for you. He says, comfort his people. So what I can see now is that he brings people in. They need discipleship. They need healing, biblical healing from various things. Again, people like my wife, Susan. And after she shared her testimony that one Sunday morning, we started to realize, wow, there's a lot of people that have gone through that, sadly. And they need healing. In verse 8, notice this here. We just read this. Let's look at this again. So today will be a little bit about bragging on God, Bible study, but I'm going to point you to how God was faithful. Again, not me. I'm still trying to figure a lot of this stuff out. But hopefully, as we celebrate our church anniversary today, I want you to know this is not about me. This is about God, and he was thinking of you. I didn't know. Look at this in verse 8, Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. So he showed me that this is a lot of what I'm to preach as I come out here. That New Yorkers on the East Coast, this whole Jesus movement that started on the West Coast during the Jesus movement time, where some of us, we talk about the Jesus Revolution movie, right? Who here has seen that Greg Laurie movie, Jesus Revolution? That's the story of Calvary Chapel. God saved hippies. And where the church at large wouldn't allow guitars in, because no, that Jimi Hendrix plays on that thing. That thing's of the devil. And Calvary Chapels were just bold enough to say, oh, let's see if people can worship God with that instrument. And now it's widespread around the world. But that was birthed predominantly out of one church in Southern California during the hippie movement in the 60s and 70s. A lot of hippies, thousands of hippies came to Christ, getting baptized out there in Orange County area. And some of them, instead of jamming for Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin, they got saved and they started to want to sing love songs back to Jesus. And the church at large was, no, you can't do that. Clean up your life, dirty hippie, and don't come into the church. That was the church at that time, pretty much at large. And God used a little fellowship called Calvary Chapel. It was Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa in Orange County. They a little different now, but he used them. But he showed me coming out here to the East Coast that that whole movement didn't really make it out here. That when I got out here, helping people to have God's word so they could spiritually grow and mature, it was not so widespread like it is in Orange County, California. So he showed me the word of our God stands forever. I needed to encourage Christians to not focus on things of the flesh. Why? Because the grass withers. He showed me to encourage Christians not to focus on carnal and the worldly beauty of the world. Why? Because the flower fades. I won't have to go to illustrate that further. To encourage Christians to trust in God's word. Why? Because the word of our God stands forever. That was the motivation behind, some of you guys know, when Susan and I are used by the Lord to write and publish Christian worship music, we do that under the name Word Stand. So we started using that, I don't know, 12 years ago or so. And even God had me do a new YouTube video channel. That's God's Word Stands Forever. To be able to get out there and promote God's Word even to God's people, because there's people here on the East Coast and globally, we realize there's like a famine for God's Word where we should be feasting on His Word. Amen? Because that's what you and I need to grow. So we need to keep trusting in God's Word. God is the one that's faithful. Also, I put here at the end of the chapter, many of us have heard of this, verse 28 and on. I'll read it here at the end of chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Any of you guys feel weak at times? That's me all the time. Every day, actually. He wants to give you power, His power. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. He wants to strengthen you. Even the youths, or we might say in New York City, the youths. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. Look at this in verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So the Lord was showing me that I needed to focus on His supernatural strength, His supernatural power, even to exist as a Christian out here in New York City, even when I didn't know any of you. I still need that. We need His power and strength. Amen? So if you feel weak, if you feel weary, lean on the Lord. Wait on Him. He wants to give you His supernatural strength, His supernatural power. Because you and I, we get weary. We're weak. You just got to admit that and come to the Lord. Let Him strengthen you. We need to wait on the Lord because He wants to give you new strength. So in this chapter, Isaiah 40, some of the takeaways I want you to know that help form and shape how God had birthed and planted and established and continues to grow us. Again, it's not me. This is just by the strength and power of God and His word. I wanted to quit the first couple of years, 5 years or so out here. I wanted to quit. Some of you guys are still around. Praise God for that grace and that patience even with me. But it was tough. So some of the takeaways in Isaiah 40 that God was showing me that I think that He wants you to know, comfort. He wants to comfort you. We know that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, He's a comforter. And God's the God of all comfort. He wants to comfort you. And He wants us to be used by Him to comfort one another. Amen? You need comfort. You need that through also biblical healing. He wants you and I to teach His word and to encourage Christians to trust in God's word and God alone. Amen? You need to do that. And to focus on God's supernatural strength and power. Again, God is the one that's faithful, not me. I'm not the one that's faithful. We're going to brag on God a bit. And I'm going to show you a little bit. I got a lot of slides here. But I want to show you a little bit about what God had done as He birthed our fellowship. Another foundational passage. I'm going to show you a couple foundational scriptures that are yours. He was thinking of you, not just me. These are things that He proved, He showed me, spoke to me, and I can see it just come to fruition where God's showing me that living, active word. But it's also for you because He was thinking of you all. Psalm 127, here's what it says Now Solomon, King Solomon, the son of David, he wrote this psalm. A lot of people don't know that. They think that David wrote all the psalms. Not so. King Solomon was known for building something. What did he build? The temple, the first temple. And look what he wrote here. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So King Solomon wrote this, and he was building the house of God. He had to remember that the Lord builds the house. Now Solomon, very wise dude, right? Very wise, we might say, not too smart. Very wise, not too smart. He had how many wives and concubines? 1,000. For you guys that are married, one's enough. Amen. 1,000. He had all this wisdom, but not very smart. All right, but this is what he wrote. The Lord builds a house. So when I moved out here, I remember this is one of the scriptures that the Lord just kept harassing me with. And even when I was on staff at Bible College in California, Calvary Chapel Bible College, we would pray for people and send them out as missionaries. They wanted to do church plants. We'd say, hey, let God build it. And it's kind of like, whoop, no, I'm going to go out. I got my 5-year plan. That's not of God. You've got to let God build it. Even Solomon knew that. He could have all that wisdom, all that money, all that wealth, all that power and resources, but he knew the Lord has to build the house. Amen? Same thing here. By the way, Psalm 127 is part of the Hebrew Psalms called the Psalms of Ascents. Anybody hear of that? Psalms of Ascents. They would read and recite and sing these psalms. There's a portion of scripture in the psalms called the Psalms of Ascents, the ascending up. So they go down from, when they're going and traveling to Jerusalem, they would go, say, if they went along the Jordan River, they came to Jericho, the Dead Sea, that whole area is the lowest place on the planet. Very hot, very dry. And they would walk, many of them would walk, literally, physically ascend up higher and higher until they got to Jerusalem and even go into the temple area, which was a city on a hill. Okay, so you'd be able to see that up high, but they went from a lowest place to a very high point. And they would sing, they would recite these things. Did they memorize scripture? Did they sing the Psalms? Even Jesus, Yeshua, isn't that amazing? Yes. So they would actually do that as they literally physically went up to Jerusalem. You'll see this in the Gospels. It'll mention Jesus went up to Jerusalem, to the Jew. That's code that says, okay, they would read and sing these Psalms of Ascents. It's great to see these things. So even Psalm 127, one of the Psalms of Ascents, as they would go up to the house of God, they'd be singing and reciting this, unless the Lord builds the house. And they'd be going to the house of God. I get chills thinking about that, how beautiful that must have been. So the same thing with this church here, in God's house here. The Lord had to plant this church. I couldn't do it. Now, some of you guys know, my background, I used to be a DJ. I used to work in a nightclub in California, nightclubs, and promote parties. And guess what I couldn't use? All those carnal methods. I know how to bring people together and how to set up an event. I couldn't use any of that. I'm like, oh, it's even worse because I know how to do it. It's not hard to do. And I couldn't do that. Guess what I had to do? I took this hand and said, oh Lord, if this is of you, unless the Lord builds a house, I'm going to labor and it'll be in vain. And so it was a do or die thing. As we say in Calvary Chapel, where God guides, God provides. So if he's not going to build it, if he's not going to provide, guess what you know? Well, it's not God's will. And that's okay. I'm okay with that because I just want to be in the center of his will. And that's what I think we need to do. Amen? Just be in his will. So the Psalm of Ascents, unless the Lord builds the house, I had to be reminded that the Lord had to build the house. So I look out, you know, see all you guys here, and we get to celebrate God's faithfulness today. I think, oh Lord, why did I want to quit at the start? You know, you always want to quit before you get victory, right? I don't know what that is about us. God knows that. But he wouldn't let me quit. And it's not because of me. It's because he knew you. He knew that each of you would come in. You would need to be loved, taught, and fed God's word. Because I learn out here that a lot of us are misfed and misled. We need to be fed God's word so you can be led by God's word and God's spirit. Amen? And that's it. So he was thinking of you. Calvary Chapel out here is a work of God. And he purposefully had me not use worldly tactics. I still can't. Like, oh, I remember when I met my wife, our first conversation, she came in. Where's my wife? You remember, Susan. First conversation, she came in here, she was rebuking me. This is like 18 years ago, she came in. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, Lord, this one's not coming back. You know, if you go into church, you talk to the pastor. I mean, there's like a handful of us there. There's maybe eight people or so that showed up that day. And she's telling me how I needed my name on the website. And I realized that there's a lot of people out here in New York City that get abused. Spiritual abuse, some of the worst abuse you can go through. Where people are like, oh, I'm promoting myself and you need to exercise your faith by giving your money. It's like, oh, I don't want that. That's an abomination. I don't want to be part of that. So I had a hard time. I'm just confessing to you because I had a hard time even putting my name on the website until some of my friends said, you know what? You really should, because people want to know who to blame. Who's responsible, right? It's like, oh yeah, I never really looked at it from that perspective. It was kind of like false humility. Anyhow, the rest is history. But my first conversation in person with my wife, Susan, she's rebuking. You need to have your name on the website. Like, I don't know. Well, anyhow, continuing on. The Lord had to build the house. We got to continue on. The next foundational scripture, I'm going to show you a bunch of pictures in just a moment, but the next foundational scripture I want to share with you in a similar way, this is Matthew 16. You can turn there if you wish. Matthew 16, verse 18. You know the passage where Peter is speaking with Jesus. Jesus is speaking with Peter. Here's what he tells him. This is on the display. Also, I say to you that you are Peter. The Greek word is Petros. It's a rock. Like something you can grab and throw. That's a Greek word, Petros. It's a rock or a stone. You are Peter, Petros, and on this rock, please know this, because a lot of Christians get this wrong. Because they look at it only in the English, not in the original Greek language that Matthew's gospel is written in. Upon this, Petra. That's a different Greek word. And I put it up here for you. The Greek word is Petra. A large, massive rock. Think of it like the Rock of Gibraltar. Jesus is telling Peter, you're a pebble. You're a rock. You're a stone. But upon this Petra, Jesus is speaking of himself. If you know any Catholics, you might want to preach that to them. Or others that's like, oh, okay, you build it upon Peter, the rock. Or on myself. Or I've got to be stable. That's carnal. That's worldly. That's actually antichrist. That's not Christian. He says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So the Lord is showing me that Jesus will build his church here. And it's going to be built upon who? Not Peter, not man, not man-made religions, upon Jesus himself. I'm like, wow, it's your church. He says, my church, right? You see that there? It belongs to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. You don't belong to me. That's why Calvary Chapel is, you know, we don't have a membership. And be very wary about those that force you into a membership. Why? Because they're going to force you to give. A lot of people, they don't want to make disciples. They want to make money and make members. Just be very wary about that. We don't have it in Calvary Chapel. Why? It's not biblical. Because you belong to God. You don't belong to me. You don't belong to a denomination. You belong to Jesus Messiah. Amen? So he says, I will build my church. The church belongs to Jesus. I don't own you. I like that. That means I don't have to be responsible for you, okay? Then you need to go to God. Go to the Father through Jesus Christ. So he's showing me that he'll build his church here. That Jesus owns the church. He says, my church. And God's word teaches that Jesus builds his church upon himself. Not upon Peter, not upon a man, not upon a personality, but upon Christ Jesus himself. You can look that up. It's in original Greek language. You're Petros, but upon Petra himself, I will build my church. The church is built upon Jesus Christ. Any ex-Catholics here? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Peter was not the first pope. Can the pope be married? No. Okay. So, did Peter have a wife? Yes. Jesus healed her. Okay. Don't believe that lie. So, through God's word, he's teaching us, and we need to know that Jesus is the builder, not me. Jesus will build the church, and he builds things his way and his timing. So guess what that meant for me being honest. I love this. This is before knowing you. Seeing you guys and knowing you guys, wow, it's easier to have faith. But I remember being here in Middle Village, And when he moved me out here 23 years ago, not knowing any of you guys, I'm like, New Yorkers are mean. I can't even say hi to people on the streets. They're thinking I'm asking for money. Like, I just want to let them know who Jesus is. Share my love of Jesus with them. But this is how Calvary Chapel was birthed out here in Queens. That he had to do it. He had to do it in his timing, in his way. And guess what I had to do? Wait, have patience. Who here likes waiting for God? None of us do, right? If you look at it. But those who wait in the Lord shall renew their strength. You look at that part like, I need strength. It says, wait upon me. I want it now. You know, what's that secret word, that special word we teach our kids? Please, right? If you're a bratty kid like I was, it's now. You're never going to answer that, though. All right, so it's a move of God. Our church is a move of God. It's a work of God. It's all about the grace of God by the hand of God. I'm going to share some early photos with you guys. Susan, like I told you, proof, I used to have hair. So, Isaiah 61, Jesus is prophesied to be the one that would come to heal the brokenhearted, it says in Isaiah 61. Just share some photos with you. Again, I want to brag on God. After 9/11 happened, I was one of the missionaries that a missionary group in California sent me out here. We couldn't get a flight, so I remember driving across the country with three of my buddies in an RV. A friend of mine, Garrett Breland, he worked for the Rams. He used to be an L.A. Ram. Big guy, too. He passed away, sadly. Kind of young, too. But it was his dad's RV. He's driving across the country. And I remember just crying. I didn't know what God was doing. He was messing with my heart, in a way. But he was telling me, this is going to be a long-term mission. I didn't know what that meant. I worked for a missions group. It was called Safe Harbor International Relief. And later on, I was on staff at Calvary Chapel Bible College in California. And when 9/11 happened, I remember teaching a class. And it was the Tabernacle and the Temples. When this happened, I went to the sanctuary that Tuesday morning. Some of you guys, who here remembers where you were that Tuesday morning? It kind of scars you, or you remember, right? When 9/11 happens. I remember going to the sanctuary. It was all quiet. They had instrumental music playing. Kneeling down in the front row and just praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I believe the Lord was telling me to give my availability. And I did. The rest is history. But they sent me out as a missionary to come out here. Didn't know what I was doing, but they had opened up a ministry site. It was closest to the pit at Ground Zero. It actually became a Calvary Chapel ministry site, which is great. It was the closest one to the pit at Ground Zero. We manned it with missionaries, even from Japan. They came from all over the place. A little Catholic chapel, kind of a building. We gutted it out and like, no, we're going to put Christian born-again missionaries in there. And we wanted to minister to the construction, fire, and police personnel. We didn't allow the paparazzi in, so they loved it. They'd come down, they'd come and just kind of relax there. They could eat, send an email to their wife, I'm sorry, I'll see you in a couple days. It was like really tragic down there. But I remember going there and praying, Lord, what do you want from me? And he was telling me that he wanted a Calvary Chapel type Bible teaching church plant here. And I'm thinking Manhattan. And if you remember the first time, if you're not from New York City, for me, the first time coming to Manhattan, I'm thinking, everything's so expensive here. I remember some of my friends, because I was a missionary, I didn't have money. Some of my friends would say, hey, you could just eat pizza and survive. You know, there's these buck a slice pizzas. That's not very good pizza, and you can't survive very long on that, right? So it's expensive here in New York City. So what I remember doing is coming there, and then for some weeks, just praying. There was two main missions, directives that some of the pastors told me about coming here. One of them was they wanted me to take over the ministry site there because they were having problems with the people that were there. Second was to pray and see where God would have me do a church plant. And I'm sitting there going, Manhattan's so expensive and there's like no place there. But I remember praying and driving around and eventually ended up here. And God was just showing me, leading me and guiding me. So post 9/11 relief work, for whatever reason, and if this is your home church, I want you to encourage you to pray because God's got us involved in relief work here. He always throws me into that. I don't know why. There's another photo from the relief center there. By the way, these two gals, Laurie and Suzanne, They prayed for you guys. I remember them telling me, we like to pray for baby churches. There was no church or anything, no fellowship. I didn't even know where I was going to land. But I remember them saying that, and they keep in contact with me. We know that God's called you here. We want to pray for you. I thought, oh, that's so awesome. Some of you guys actually met them like we go on Zoom. But they prayed for us. The other guys are, these are Firefighters for Christ missionaries. It's funny, they have mustaches. And then later on, I lost the hair and I gained the mustache. But these are Firefighters for Christ missionaries that came out also. And they were all praying because many of them knew that God was calling me for a church plant. Some of the guys wanted me to do a church plant in Manhattan. I'm like, that's like very foreign to me. I didn't sense it was the Lord. Even pastors tell me, no, go there. But I knew, and I had a relationship with some of my pastor friends back home. It's like, I know how to hear from God. Leave me alone. Let me pray. And let me confirm and authenticate it within his word of where he's leading me. Let me just hear and obey him. And this is where he wanted me to be. Now I look in your face and I'm like, I could see exactly what God was doing. This was my first apartment here. It was a one-car garage just a couple blocks or so away here in Middle Village in Queens, New York City. Guess where your church was birthed? We were birthed out of a garage. It was this. And this wasn't the fellowship. There was a friend of mine that came out also from California. I had a calling. He kind of tagged on. I told him, I think you need to go back. But the rest of the guys here, besides the guy in the foreground, he was local. But all the others, I had some friends. Blue Letter Bible, I met a guy. It's Brian there. He went to go to Colorado, I think it was, to a Bible college. So he brought out some missionaries. And this was early on, though. This was 2002. And most of the time, our fellowships are Sunday mornings even, including Wednesday nights. There was a handful, and I'm talking like two or three of us. That was the church. Like, Lord, no one's going to come here. I wouldn't want to come here. How do you invite people to come to a garage? It just sounded wacky. I literally even had a Christian friend saying, what are you doing? Are you trying to start a cult? Like, you don't ask someone that, right? Like, no, of course not. But I didn't have money. I just had my faith. I had my Bible and my calling. And God was wanting me to simply, and here's a principle in the book of Luke, be faithful in the little things. So if God could use, an idiot like me, sorry, where I came out and all I had at that time to give to God was my availability and this one car garage. It was underneath, underground, not very nice. That's all we can give to God is if he could do a work, that's how he started us here. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how many hundreds of people maybe came to Christ throughout the more than two decades out here. Can he do it? He did it. But the first couple years or so, the first 5 years or so was really scary. Then shortly after, we moved to this place called Waterview Nursing Care Center. This guy, Jerry, he was actually in a nursing home, and I was from California. It doesn't snow near the beach in California, not Southern California. It started snowing here. It was a garage, so to get to it, you had to kind of go down a little slope, and then you get to the garage door to open. That was my apartment. That's where we had fellowship. And if you're in a wheelchair, you can't do that. So I'm sitting there praying, going on my knees, Lord, bring people in. You wanted a church plant. I don't know what I'm doing because I just got to wait on you and pray. It's got to be a supernatural, spiritual work. And then he was breaking my heart. Why don't you just go to them? And that's where this was, Waterview Nursing Care Center. So we started going there. And still in my heart, I'm thinking, this is never going to be a church plant. We can't invite people there. And they barely let us in, but they let us take charge of, there's a conference room. We were able to go all around and pray for people. That was a real big blessing. But in my heart, I'm thinking, how is a Bible teaching church plant ever going to start there? And eventually we ended up just down the street. Some of you guys passed this probably on the way here. Just, west of here on the north side of Metropolitan by Forest Avenue. It's a little 99-cent store. That used to be a Christian bookstore called the Art Christian Bookstore. We moved in there for a while. So Sunday mornings used to be there. They had a tiny basement room. They let us rent it out for like $100 a Sunday. I remember there. So we were there for a short while. And some of you guys, Catherine, Andy, Jose, Wendy's not here right now. Right? We went to the VFW hall. Some of you guys remember. Who remembers the big yellow building? Okay, remember that? You remember there was a bar on one side. Remember our Wednesday, we sometimes would have like a Friday night worship time and prayer. They'd be like, on one side. And so these are some of the things that God was doing. He was just testing our faithfulness as he grew us. And in Matthew 14, here's one of the things that he was convicting me of. I'm going to have to hurry along here. Matthew 14, in October 2012, some of you guys might remember Superstorm Sandy hit. Earlier that year, my wife gave birth to our daughter Christina. I was working at American Bible Society, and I was praying, Lord, I think you're moving me on. I won't get into the details of the things I was praying for. But the day after Christina was born, I finally got let go from that assignment by the Lord. I couldn't just quit. I'm like, Lord, get them to fire me. Or and then they just let me go. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. I'm released from this assignment. The day after Christina was born, we had just broke through the wall here. Because this used to be a warehouse. We used to just fellowship on that side. Some of you guys know and remember. And so I'm thinking in my heart, oh, Lord, we got extra expenses here. I'm going to have to pay for that. I now don't have that job. We have a newborn baby. What's going to happen? And then October, Superstorm Sandy hit. And in my heart, just like in this passage, just where Jesus is feeding the multitude, but he didn't feed the multitude directly. He fed them indirectly through the disciples. He knew what he wanted to do. He's asking his disciples. He's like testing them. Anybody know that Jesus is always going to test you? Okay? He's always going to test you. He knew what he wanted to do. He turns to his disciples because they knew the lay of the land. They were from that area. What should we do? Send them away. That was my heart after Superstorm Sandy hit. I went down south with a bunch of my pastor friends and we checked out what it was like. It's like, there's no power. Some people were showing us like on the wall in their house, everything up to about this high on the first floor was flooded. You see like this dirty water line. Like, oh wow, that's so sad. Didn't have electricity. It goes into the basement. You saw no boilers. They didn't have water. It was getting cold that time of year. It was just really tragic. But in my heart, I'm thinking, I got to pay for now this new building, and my family got bigger. I remember my prayer request. This might be yours too. God, if I take care of your family, please take care of my family. And again, God is faithful. He's always been faithful to do that. How does he do that? I don't know. So we just moved into this warehouse that we're sitting in right now, but my heart was like, send them away. I don't have time. I got to get a job. We got to pay more for this. Don't you see? Our expenses are way high, sky high now. And I remember God convicted me. The Lord convicted me with this passage. They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. I'm like, what? What? That doesn't make sense. So it was a huge walk of faith, but God is faithful. Again, where God guides, God provides. The rest is history. So we went out there, and this is federal property here. We were out there, and the popos came up. We brought out some barbecues, and the NYPD, they're like, you don't need to be here. You need to be there, and they're pointing to that was a post office property, federal property. From my background, I came from prison ministry, so I know, hey, there's jurisdiction change. You're going to get me in trouble with the feds, man. We're going to like open fire on federal property. Then we connected with the post office. They're like, no, we want you to be here. Like, really? Open fire? Okay. So it was great. We must have brought out thousands of missionaries in just a matter of over 2 years. This is another photo. So God was faithful to bring out people. For just one day alone, Calvary Chapel of Philadelphia sent over 100 missionaries out. Just one day. I'm sitting there, I got on the phone with Lloyd Pooley. He's a pastor at Calvary Chapel Old Bridge. I'm like, okay, Lord, Lloyd, if you want to send someone out here to take over this ministry, you can. He didn't give me the answer I was waiting for or wanted. He's like, well, the Lord's got you there. I'm like, no, send someone else. Again, here am I, right? Great man of faith. No, my faith was like this much. I needed to have that much. Again, it was like, send them away. The Lord's like, you give them something to eat. And he's been faithful to do that. He brought out the resources and the missionaries. People were needing comfort. Comfort, oh, comfort my people. Remember in Isaiah 40? It was really tragic. And the Lord was breaking my heart. I remember just being there and seeing little kids and crying a lot. Some of you guys may have been there during that time. I don't remember Kimmy. That's when Kimmy came out. We met Kimmy because she came out as a missionary. Remember that for 3 weeks. She came out for 3 weeks. What is that? 13 years ago. It's been a long 3 weeks. So God was really doing an amazing thing. I was praying in my heart, God, can you give us a spot where we could store a storage trailer? Because we would have this part of the church building. Some of you guys remember, we would store it up with supplies. And on Saturdays and other days, we would take up, fill up our cars. And it was just like an impromptu type of ministry. We took them out there. And then people would stop by. They'd say, hey, I just came from Duane Reade. My car is full of toilet paper. And we're like, okay. They just drop it on us. They didn't want to do outreach, but they wanted to give. People are like, hey, I got these cases of water. Can we give them to you? So we ended up coming back with more than when we came, when we left. So in my heart, I'm thinking, God, can you give us a spot just to put a storage trailer? Because we can't do this. We're taking too much stuff back and forth. And here's how God answered. He gave us 5 acres in South Queens for free. It's like, where do you get 5 acres? You can't even get a closet in New York City, right? If so, you got to pay for that. He gave us 5 acres. That's actually this red outline. That's the plot of land he gave for us to use. You can read about that, actually. This is our buddy Ray. Some of you guys remember Pastor Ray. That's in Calvary Chapel Magazine. So he gave it to us. This is the grass before we mowed it down. This is afterwards. Some of you guys know Pastor Nathan Robinson. He might be watching. Hey, Nathan. Of Chapel Falls Christian Fellowship. He brought some guys down that had these huge machinery. They just mowed everything down. And then we put up a fence. So God was saying, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. I'm just telling you where my heart was. Because my heart's like, we don't have the money. I don't have the time. I got to get a job to take care of my family now. And God's like, let me take care of you. I'm like, okay, Lord, if I take care of your family, please take care of my family. That's been a glorious thing, even for my family to see. So we put up a fence around it because everything needs to be done decently and in order. And then we had it. Kimmy took this photo, I think, right? This is the very first photo or first, what do we call it, sanctuary that we built there. People wouldn't stop coming. There's just hundreds of people every day would come out when we're doing outreach. And this was, I think, the very first service, right? We put up a tent, and then it got windy, and the tent kind of, you know, had another opinion. And so we eventually put up a makeshift temporary shed. I think the shed is still there. By the way, the place where we go to baptize is like just south of this area. So it's kind of neat to go by. Every time we do, I look, it's like, wow, that thing's still there. Amazing. So God was showing us that he is the one that is faithful. So we had a bunch of contractors come out. They put up this temporary shed. Again, I think it's still there. It's where we got this wooden cross. And it became a thing where, just like feeding the multitudes, guys, I want you to know, if this is going to be your home church, this is a church where God keeps multiplying the fish and the loaves. I don't know how he does it, because we're not paying for it. He is. Just like you guys are sitting here, it's like a warehouse again. We get all these supplies. We get a big semi-truck that comes out, and people are wanting to donate because they know that we're going to hand them out to the people here and just love the people in New York City. Like, how's that happen? I don't know. But God is the one that's faithful. I know my heart. I'm like, send them away. I don't have time. I don't have money. But he wants to love the people. Again, Jesus feeds the people. He'll feed them indirectly, though. And he does it just like the disciples in the Gospels. He does it through you, through the people. I want to encourage you to keep having a heart to keep wanting to love the people. And guess what? When it comes, that's David there. When it comes to God still using us in disaster relief, I want you to know that what we had just a couple years ago, it feels like it was a long time ago, right? You guys remember March 2020, the supposed like shutdown, so to speak, that we had from COVID, if you want to call it that. Well, some of you guys might not know or remember, just a couple miles away was Elmhurst Hospital, what reportedly was the world's epicenter, right? That was just right here. So we still have a lot of people in Queens, New York City that are freaked out, people that need faith. They need help. They need hope. They need healing through Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're going to have to close here. But again, as we move forward, let's all stand, please. I'm a little over my time here. But I just want to, again, brag on God. This is another foundational verse that God has used for you. He wants you to know this. This is also your verse. God is the one who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Sometimes maybe your prayer request is like how mine was. God, give me a space. Give us a space to store a storage trailer in the Rockaways because we want to love and help the people. And he's like, no, I'm going to give you 5 acres. And I argued with the guy that was wanting to give me. He's like, just use it. I hear you guys are doing a good work. Like, nobody's out there. Love the people. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I just want a spot for this. The rest is history. But I look at this verse and I think, God, that's just like how you are. You are the one that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. And that's what he's done here at Calvary Chapel. I don't know how he does it, but he wants to continue to do that. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So Father in heaven, we thank you. Today's the day that we get to brag on you, and that should be every day, but especially today. We celebrate our 21st church anniversary. You're the one that birthed and planted and sustained this fellowship. You do that with my life personally, with my family, with our church family here. God, it truly is where you guide, you provide. We've never asked anybody for a single penny, and yet you still provide for us. I don't know how you do it. It's not for us to figure out how you do your creative work. These are miraculous things. We just welcome them, Lord. But stir up our faith. Help us to keep having boldness. And help us to celebrate your goodness, your faithfulness today. Empower each of us, Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.